Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. What we see happen in these different temptations is that Satan begins with the same phrase, "If you are the Son of God." He recognizes that Jesus is the Son of God, but he wants to put him to the test a little bit. If you are who people think you are, if you are who you say that you are, let's see what you can do. And this sort of temptation comes to us all the time. If you're as awesome as you think you are, if you're as awesome as people think that you are, you think people think you are, if you're the great dad that you're supposed to be, if you're the great wife you're supposed to be, if you're the great friend, great student, great whatever that you're supposed to be, athlete that you're supposed to be, these are the things that you would do. And Satan has this insidious way of speaking to us, and he filters into our thoughts and into our mind. He gets in so easily. If you are the Son of God, in this first temptation, Jesus went into the desert for 40 days and fasted and was offering himself to God, offering his fast, offering his suffering, offering his pain, pouring his life out to his Father. After 40 days of fasting, what would you want? Food. Like, get me some food immediately. And so Satan goes right where Jesus is desperate, as he so often does for us. He goes right where we're desperate. And this first temptation that happens in our lives and we fall for it every single day, this first temptation is one of comfort. And it comes to us time and time again. We want to be comfortable, or at the very least, we want the bad things to go away. And Satan finds ways to create diversions or create distractions in our life. And it's so easy for us because we're unwilling, it's uncomfortable. We're unwilling to address or wrestle with the hard things. And so there's always this temptation to go to what's comfortable or what's convenient, just the easiest thing. And we do it all the time. It could be YouTube, it could be Instagram, it could be the TV, it could be gossiping with friends, it could be pornography, masturbation, it could be alcohol, it could be all these different things that we go to so easily, just looking for a little bit of a way to ease the discomfort, a distraction, a diversion. Pope Benedict XVI said, "You were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness." And that resonates in my heart. I wasn't made for comfort. I was made for greatness. And yet we fall for this temptation so easily. And Jesus looks Satan in the face and he says, "One does not live on bread alone." One does not live on bread alone. We do live on bread. I need food. If you don't put oil in the tank, it runs out. It's like, I need food, but I don't live on bread alone. There are higher goods than the comforts that we seek. Food is necessary, but there are still higher goods. Friendship, family, relationship, love, sacrifice. Those are higher goods that God calls us to. And what we see Jesus do in this temptation is he destroys Satan. He beats Satan. That Jesus is unwilling to bend. That he goes out into the desert to offer his suffering, to offer his sacrifices, offer his discomfort to the Lord. And still more, Jesus takes up his cross willingly. It's not like Jesus was just a victim of circumstances caught in the crossfires. He didn't have to pick up that cross. They could have killed him right there. And Jesus didn't have to get back up after he fell down the first time or the second time or the third time. They could have killed him right there. And yet Jesus takes on what's uncomfortable, what's unpleasant, to show us that we weren't made for comfort, just the easy and the convenient things. You and I were made for greatness. We were made for capital R relationship with the Lord. So Jesus gives us this model here, this first temptation. The second temptation, the devil brings him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all the most powerful men and women who have ever ruled. He says, "All this will be yours. I'll hand it over to you." if you worship me. And this next temptation, in case Satan doesn't get us with the little minimal sins, the little distractions and diversions of comfort, he'll always entice us to grab power, to seize power. I don't like to feel powerless. I'd rather be in charge. I'd rather call the shots. I'd rather have control of the situation. And we do this all the time. We plan things out so nothing can ever go wrong, so that God really doesn't have to intervene. I don't really have to trust him. I don't really have to surrender to him. But we have all of our lives neatly in a row. And this is this desire for power that exists in us. We never say that. I want power. We do want influence. We want to be able to affect people. We want to be able to move something from one to another. Like, we don't like to feel powerless. And yet Jesus doesn't seize power. I'm amazed in the Gospels. We're going to, on Palm Sunday and on Good Friday, we'll read the whole Passion narrative. You guys are going to be standing for 20 minutes. You'll complain to me afterwards. Your knees hurt. Oh, get over it, you know. But it's amazing how many times we hear Jesus was led away. Jesus was led away by the Pharisees. Jesus was led away by Herod. Jesus was led away by Pontius Pilate. He was led away by the Roman soldiers. Jesus didn't seize power. He allowed himself to be led away so that he could fulfill the Lord's will in his life, so that he could accomplish what God sent him to do here on earth, not to seize comfort or to seize power, but to surrender to the Lord. We so much do not like this. I remember as a boy, I've got three sisters, two older, and we would be, I didn't get to play masculine games, you know. I just got to go out and shoot hoops by myself. But my sisters, we would play house. I didn't really enjoy playing house, especially when my oldest sister, who became the mom of the house, told me to clean up. And I was like, so then I would just create a new game. I'd say, well, actually, I'm the king. And as king, you can't tell me what to do. You have to clean up. And I would assert my dominance. It's like, I don't want to feel powerless. I don't want to be told what to do. This desire for power comes back time and time again. We want to be in control. And yet Jesus shows us that he was led away, that he's humble enough to allow the Lord to lead him, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it means sacrifice. This third temptation, the devil brings Jesus to the top of the temple in Jerusalem. He says, throw yourself off of this. If God is so good, if you are the Son of God, God's angels will protect you. They'll guard you. Just show us that God can do this. And this temptation for us looks like using God for my purposes. Using God for my purposes. That God is actually just a means to a further end. I come to Mass or I pray so that I can experience peace. I can experience joy. All the hard things sort of go away. Like, we use God. We leverage our relationship with him for something else. We don't want God for his own sake. We want something else. We have ideas about our own lives and how they're supposed to go. And when they don't go according to our plan, we get angry, frustrated, disappointed with God. And yet we know in faith, that God has a plan for our life. We know in faith that God has a plan for our life and that his ways are better than my ways, and his purposes far outweigh my purposes. And the call that Jesus gives us, it's like, we should not put the Lord God to the test. Him alone shall we serve. Jesus shows us that we need to surrender to the Lord's plan in our lives. And Satan, after these three temptations, goes away. And the last line is so good. He departed from him for a time. In case you think you've beaten sin, in case you think you're high and mighty, in case you think I've got it all together, Satan comes back and he tempts us in new ways. In case he can't get us with comfort, he'll try power. And in case he can't get us with power, he'll try and leverage our relationship with the Lord so I make it all about me. God has a plan for your life. And Satan's going to try and trip that up. If you are as awesome as you think you are, if you're as awesome as people think that you are, you'll do these things. What does the Lord think? How is the Lord leading me? And how is it that I can surrender to his ways? Jesus wins this battle, and yet Satan continues to lurk. Jesus is the model of what it looks like to go toe-to-toe with Satan, and you and I don't go into battle alone. Put away these temptations. Ask the Lord to come by our side so that we too can surrender to the Lord's ways.